What's the deal with all this stuff about repentance? I thought that was for Lent. Which is in 3.5 weeks. Shh. Okay. Repentance is, and from what I hear in the scriptures today, repentance is a little tricky. So I'm going to propose this, that the path is what we hear in the psalm as we make it our own. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Show me your path. Now, what's tricky about that is that repentance tends to look like, on this side of the church, on this west side, it tends to look like what we heard with Jonah in the first reading. You dang well better repent, or else all H-E double toothpicks will break loose. Now, a lot of us grew up with this sense of, clean your room or you don't get dessert. Clean your plate or you don't get this, or you're going to get that, or whatever. And the threat and the... there's no carrot there. It's just a stick. And so I think that builds up a kind of fear and resentment that when we say, teach me your ways, O Lord, and show me your paths, we're saying, do this so I don't get clobbered, right? The repentance sounds like, I can only line it up with the song, Santana's song, you've got to change your evil ways, baby, you know? And so, for example, after 38 years of hearing confessions, one of the main things I've heard over 38 years is, I'm really trying. I'm going to try harder. I think I've got this now. And that, to me, when I hear that, and it could be different for you all, but when I hear that, it's like, I got to get this out of my life before, everything falls down and collapses on me and the world and all that stuff. Now, here's another view. And this is something that just coming to me the last couple of years. Jesus came proclaiming the good news of God. It's translated gospel here in the New American Bible, the good news. What the heck is the good news? I want to get to that in a minute. But he proclaimed the good news. And when he sent out the 12, they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. So the disciple, the 12, didn't go out and say, you've got to change your evil ways, baby. He didn't come after them with sticks and 2x4s and stuff like that, but cast out demons and cured the sick. And that's what helped with repentance. The word to proclaim, the keruso in Greek, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me and sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to captives and release to prisoners. So it seems to me, it feels like that Jesus' proclamation of repentance is different from especially the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, that say, if you don't clean your plate, you're going to your room. And now you'd have to say, and I'm taking your phone away. It's about liberty and healing. Now, the Greek word euangelion, the good news or gospel, evangelical is what we get from it. In chapter 8, here's what it looks like. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the good news will save it. So there's something about the mystery of losing our lives for the sake of the good news. And then go into all creation and proclaim the good news. Go into all the world, proclaim the good news to all creation. What is the good news? This is where I'm going with it these days. Just before this incident, Jesus had come into Galilee, or was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, or Jack the Dipper. And then was the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. He was there with the wild animals and was tempted. And but in the middle of that thing, he went into the water for the baptism. He came out and a dove, the Spirit in the form of a dove, descended on him, and he heard the words, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then he went into the desert and was tempted and then came out. And then this is the first thing he does. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. It seems to me the only good news that Jesus has heard in the gospel is this: you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Now, it's possible that some of us are saying, yeah, that's okay, but you don't really know me. Right? I'm not asking for a show of hands, but you don't really know me, so I gotta earn my worth before God. What I'm proposing is that repentance is the turning away from our own self-absorption and will to hear those words. Because those words, heard ever more deeply in our lives, they change everything. The only thing, Pope Francis said to the Jesuits who met in the General Congregation a year and 4 months ago, pray for consolation because no one changes without consolation. I'd say, none of us change without receiving the love of God and others. It changes everything. Teach me your ways and show me your path. Why do you and I prefer the annunciation or the enunciation of the gospel, the proclamation that says, you've got to change your evil ways, baby, so that we get involved in our own drama of trying and judging ourselves so that we might judge others, when we, I believe, when we repent and turn to to hear that, you are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. What a concept we might be able to say that to others without twisting our own arm behind our backs. Does that make sense? So repentance is the good news, and what Jesus heard is the good news, and so losing our lives for the sake of the good news means letting go of the mystery of why we cling to our other ways of doing things. Saying, teach me your ways and show me your path, O Lord. So perhaps this is an introduction to Lent. Seems to me it could be. So here's my thought about Lent. Repent early and get it over with. But the deal is, what would it be like this week to pray, teach me your ways, O Lord, and show me your path? And see what happens. Help me to hear God's gracious words to you. Happy Sunday.